हरि ओम नमो नारायणाय हरि ओम नमो नारायणाय ओम नमो नारायणाय ओम नमो नारायणाय हरि
हरि ओम नमो
ನಾರಾಯಣ 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 ಓಂ ಸಹನಾವವತು 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 ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹನೌ ಭುನಕ್ತು ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ಸಹ ವೀರ್ಯಂ ಕರವಾವಹೈ ತೇಜಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು 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 ಸ್ವಿನಾವಧೀತಮಸ್ತು ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಮಾ ವಿದ್ವಿಷಾವಹೈ ಓಂ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ
ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ ಶಾಂತಿ
ಲಾಸ್ಟ್ ಕ್ಲಾಸ್ ವಿ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಮೆಥಡ್ ಆಫ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟಿಂಗ್ವಿಶಿಂಗ್ ದ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ನಾನ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ As I said earlier in the previous classes, the reality or the truth of every being in this universe or the reality of this entire universe, however you put it, is not simply said to be the reality, it is said to be the absolute reality or the ultimate truth. The absolute reality or the ultimate truth of this entire universe pervades this entire universe, pervades every object in this universe, pervades every individual being, every individual thing in this universe. And that truth is available for understanding, recognition, only as the truth of the individual. As the content of the very I, the first person singular pronoun, which means In order to arrive at that reality, we need to know what that content of I is, what that I means, what is the substance of the substantive I. When we say there is a substantive, a word, a term called wave, wave is a substantive for which there is substance called H2O. If you remove the substance called H2O, the substantive wave will be meaningless. There is no substantive wave minus the substance, the water, the H2O. It's a gross example. Similarly, here if you say I, first person, so I, the first person singular pronoun I, is a substantive, we do not know the substance of the substantive I. We know the substance of the substantive wave. We know the substance of the substantive chain being gold. The substance of the substantive shirt is fabric. If you remove the substance, substantive will collapse. Similarly, what is the substance of the substantive I? If we discover the substance of the substantive I, then substance of the substantive universe becomes as well discovered, or becomes discovered as it were. Discovery of the substance of the substantive wave is in fact discovery of the substance of the substantive universe. So here also, discovery of the substance of the substantive I, the first person singular pronoun I, is in fact discovery of the substance of the substantive cosmos. And discovery of the substance of the substantive cosmos is in fact discovery of the meaning of the word limitlessness. Discovery of what limitlessness means. Discovery of what fullness is. Discovery of what fullness is, in fact, discovery of what happiness is. There is no way of discovering what happiness is without having understood what fullness or limitlessness is. To understand what fullness is, we need to understand the substance of the substantive universe. To understand the substance of the substantive universe, the only way is understanding the substance of the substantive I. Unfortunately, for us, I now means body, I means sense organs, I means mind, I means powers or organs of actions, I also means physiological functions. The I is placed all over. You know, there is I sense in the body, I sense in the mind, there is I sense in sense organs, every sense organ, there is I sense in physiological functions, there is I sense in thoughts, I sense in organs of actions. Therefore, which means this I is mixed with non-I. Indistinguishably, non-distinguishably, it is mixed. But not non-distinguishable, it is distinguishable, inseparably mixed. Therefore, what happens? We mistake the I for the non-I, mistake the non-I for the I. This is called what? Erroneous self-perception. Mistaking non-I, we can say I means the self and the non-I means non-self. In Sanskritam, we use this beautiful word Atma. Why the word Atma, the substance of the substantive I, is implied by the term Atma? Because the same substance is the all-pervasive, innermost essence of all the beings. Therefore, it is called Atma. The very word Atma means what? All pervasive. Atma does not mean actually the self, the implied, what the actual meaning of the word Atma is, all pervasive, innermost essence, essential reality. Therefore, the substance of the substantive I is implied by the term Atma. Therefore, we can say we mistake the non-self, Anatma. You can understand another word, Anatma, for the Atma, the I. We mistake the non-I, non-self, Anatma, for the Atma, the I. Because we do not know what I, the Atma, means, we mistake the Anatma for the I, Atma. Therefore, we have I sense everywhere. Now we need to discover what that Atma, the I, is. In order to discover what Atma, I is, we need to distinguish the Atma first. You have to distinguish it first in order to know what it is. Without distinguishing it, distinguishing it, without discerning it, you cannot find out what Atma is. So in order to distinguish, we use this method. What is that method called? Drik Drishya Viveka Prakriya. The method of distinguishing the self from the non-self. Distinguishing the knower from the known. Distinguishing the seer from the seen. The method of distinguishing the observer from the observed. Knower from the known. Otherwise, subject-object analysis. And here, as we saw last class already, we have negated the physical body. I remember very well, but I can never just talk from there. And we saw that when, with reference to the universe, you are the knower. Every one of us can claim, I, the self, am the knower. The entire world of objects is known by me, known to me, is evident to me. So anything, any object in the world, anything in the world indicated by any pronoun other than I, the first person singular pronoun I, is an object of knowledge. Therefore, the everything in this universe, whether it is near or far, indicatable by these pronouns, this or that. Something is far, we use the pronoun that. Something is near, we use the pronoun this. If plural, we say those and these. Or it, that, this, those, these, all these pronouns we use. You cannot use one pronoun there. What is that? I. Anything indicated by any pronoun other than I is an object of knowledge. Therefore, you can reduce the whole world external to your physical body into a world of objects of knowledge. Then, when you come nearer, as we saw last class, your own breath is nearer than anything else to you. Therefore, you say what? This is my breath. When you say, you have no confusion at all. You are very happy to say, this dress I wear is close to my body. Oh no, this is an object of my knowledge. Object of knowledge is known by me, known to me. Therefore, this dress is an object of knowledge. I am the knower. And this is the dress which is an object of knowledge, the known. Dress is the known. I am the knower. Then you come little more interior. Then what you say? We saw the whole physical body. Last class we saw all the every part of the body. You can say this. It can be indicated by the pronoun this. Nobody can touch this. I the head, I the ear. We cannot say that. We are very clear. Therefore, whether every part of the body or the entire body is indicated by the pronoun this. Therefore, we say, this is a body, and you say, this body is an object of knowledge, the known. It comes under the category of the known, objects of knowledge. I am the knower. I, the self, am the knower. Different from, distinct from the known body, an object of knowledge. There is no distance between I, the self, and the knower, and the known physical body. There is no distance. But it is self is I, the knower, am not distant from the body, but distinct from the body. Therefore, I, the knower, am distinct from the body, different from the body, known body. Therefore, the substance of the substantive, I, is not the body. Better to say this. Instead of saying, I am not the body, better say this. Because we can never say, I am. No, in transacting world, we have to say, we have to use this. Now, from here, this is what, till here we saw last class. Now we are moving on to the new lesson. Now, not only this gross physical body, this gross body, now which is available for my own perception, my own knowledge, and then available for others' perception, others' knowledge also. Therefore, it is objectively perceptible by all. And this gross body, every gross body is an object of knowledge. So also this physical body is also, others' body is object of knowledge. Similarly, one's own physical body also is as good an object, no, of knowledge. Then there is another body. We use the term body. There are other subtle aspects indwelling this gross body. Subtle, when I say, just as this physical body, just like, see, this physical body is perceptible, but available for touch, available for smell, available for sight, but the subtle aspects are not available for perception. Not available for sense perception. So anything which is not available for sense perception is said to be subtle. When you say subtle, means how do you define what is subtle? An object which is not available for sense perception is said to be subtle. So there are subtle aspects which we cannot smell or see or hear or taste or touch, but still we can understand those subtle aspects. And those subtle aspects which indwell the gross body. And those subtle aspects, there are, if you ask me how many subtle aspects are there are totally 16 subtle aspects. So 16 shodasha sukshma vishayaha. There are 16 subtle aspects which indwell this gross body, together constitute the subtle body or astral body. Subtle body, why I was hesitating to use the term body, because whenever we hear the words body, immediately we think of something gross. But here we are talking about subtle aspects. The subtle aspects together, because all these 16 subtle aspects indwell the gross body, and together we call them, all of them together are indicated by one term, sukshma shariram, or subtle body. This gross body is called sthula shariram. Then we talk about the sukshma shariram, subtle aspects. Now, of those 16 subtle aspects, we'll see all of them now. The five sense powers. There are five powers of, subtle powers of sense organs, called Jnana Indriyani. First, let us see those first five. See, we sense organs, when we talk about sense organs in English language, if we ask, suppose if I ask any one of you, what are the sense organs? Please tell me. If I ask you, anybody will easily say eyes, nose, ears, tongue, skin. Is it true? But immediately you will ask this question. Just now you said eyes, ears, nose, tongue, skin are said to be the five sense organs, and they are all perceptible. Nose is gross, blunt or sharp, still perceptible. Ears, ear lobes are perceptible, but still ears are perceptible. Tongue is perceptible, skin is perceptible. How do we say sense organs are subtle and imperceptible? That is why in Sanskritam, when you understand here, when I say sense organs, I do not mean these apertures, okay? These apertures are the locations where the imperceptible subtle powers are. Okay? The perceptible aperture, different apertures are the organs. They are physical parts called golakani, golakam. Each physical part is called golakam. Golakam is a name of the physical part, a given aperture where a given subtle power is located. Now your eyes are there, but there is seeing power. The seeing power is imperceptible. Your ear lobes are perceptible, even ear drums operated perceptible, but hearing power is imperceptible. The nose, the nostrils are perceptible, but the power of smelling is imperceptible. A tongue is perceptible. The taste buds are perceptible. You pull the tongue. But the power of tasting is imperceptible. The skin all over the body is perceptible, Golakam, but the power of touching, power of touch is imperceptible. Understand? How do you know I can see? Our seeing power, we can see, I can see your eyes, you all can see my eyes, we all can see all our eyes, eyeballs, but what we cannot see is what? Others' seeing power. Understand? But every one of us can know our own subtle powers. So the subtle powers are known to one's own self, not to others. Is it clear or not? Is it true? I can say whether I can see or not. My eyes see or not, whether my eyes have seeing power or not, I know. If I cannot see, I know that I cannot see. I know that I can see. That is why when we go to the doctor, an ophthalmologist, always, whenever they have to check your power, they can check your eye power from outside, eye pressure from outside, using their instruments, latest medical instruments, but they cannot determine your seeing power. They have to ask you whether you see or not. Isn't it true? Is it clear or not? Very important. I'm telling you, it's very, very important thing. We should not go for any big discussions, because basic, these are all kindergarten, even pre-KG classes in Vedanta. Doesn't matter. Basic things must become very clear. What is the use of jumping? If you go systematically, this should become crystal clear. Everything as you understand. We study in medicine, we study anatomy, physiology, and everything separately, isn't it? But here, completely, you have to understand this. A seeing power is imperceptible. But it is imperceptible, means it is not available for others' perception. Even I cannot myself see my seeing power through my eyes, but I can understand whether I have seeing power or not. Is it clear? Do you see your seeing power as you see your fingers or your body? No. Your own seeing power is not perceptible for your own eyes. Why? Because the seeing power is there, but you understand there is seeing power. And you can tell, no, I can see now. No, now I can't. No, I can't. Now I can. You were able to say, which means your seeing power is known only to you. Similarly, there's a hearing power, the power of smelling, the power of taste, there's a power of touch. These powers are known only to you. Every one of us can know our own subtle powers of sense organs. Jnana Indriyani. Indriyam means power, subtle, imperceptible power. Indriyam. So these Indriyani obtain in Golakani. Understand? The each subtle power obtains in its corresponding physical part, Golakam. So you know, I cannot know whether you have seeing power, hearing power or not. I cannot say whether you can hear or not. Nobody else can say whether you can smell or not. Whether nobody else can say whether you can feel touch or not. But you know, you can feel the touch, you can feel the cold. You know you feel the cold. You know you have the power of touch. You know you have the power of smelling. You know you have the power of tasting. Isn't it? Therefore, all your subtle powers are known only to one's own self. Which means, like the physical body, the subtle sense powers are not available for perception, sense perception. But the sense powers are available for thought perception. When I say understanding, means what? Because you are able to know they are. You will say what? I know, I can see. They are all known to you. Your seeing power is known to you or not? If you say, I doubt whether I might have seeing power or not, if you say, then I have to tell you. Do you see me here? What color I am wearing? What is the light or not? Is it dark here or bright here? If you tell me, I don't know, Swaminiji, whether I have seeing power or not. If you have the doubt, I'll ask this question. Is there light or not? You say, yes, there is light. That is okay. That means you have seeing power. See, I don't see your seeing power. I make out from your answer that you have seeing power based on my knowledge of my seeing power. Understand? I do not know whether I have hearing power or not. Do you hear me what I am talking or not? Do you understand me what I am hearing or not? I am not asking. Do you listen to me what I am talking or not? I am not asking. Do you hear me what I am talking? That somebody is talking. If you say no, if you say, then that I definitely tell, please check, go to an ENT specialist. Otherwise, what I should say, you have hearing power in the same way. Is it warm or cold here? Do you all feel warm here? Or do you all feel cold here? Then I can tell, you all have power of touch. I can give you all one chili and ask you, how does it taste? Is it very sweet, like chocolate? And you will say, my God, very hot. I can say, that because of which you are able to know this is hot, that because of the presence of which you are able to say this is not sweet, that power. You don't put the chili here, you put it here, isn't it? Therefore, you might know, the tongue is the Golakam where you have power of taste. Which means, these powers are there. You know you have these powers, not without any doubt. But these powers are known to you, but not perceptible. Understandable, not perceptible, through senses. Therefore, they are called subtle. Understand? Subtle powers. Pancha Jnana Indriyani, five sense powers. Now you have to say what now? If there is no seeing power, what will you say? Actually, always, I am blind. We say, I am blind. Is it? Which means? The problems, actually here, these powers are all known to you, which means your eye sense in the sense organs. But now what are you doing? You have eye sense in the sense powers also. Over here now, we are showing, come on, all these sense powers are all known to you. You are the knower. See, this sort of distinguishing Viveka Prakriya, we will never do it again because very basic. Some of you might feel bored also. Doesn't matter. I'm doing it because it must become very clear. For anybody beginner, if they want to listen, any beginner that wants to listen, they can listen again later on. So here, these powers are all known to you. And you, therefore, you are the knower. All these five subtle sense powers are all known. Therefore, what happened now? The sense powers are not seeing power, hearing power, power of smelling, power of touch. None of these five sense powers is the substance of the substantive I. Therefore, I, the knower, am not the sense, any of the sense organs, any of the powers of sense organs. See, clear? Similarly, now we go to the next five, a set of another powers. Those powers obtain in organs of actions. Now, our hands, legs, mostly used organs of actions. Hands and legs. Use the hands, use the legs. Then, organ of speech. Three. Third organ of action. Organ of speech. Then, reproductory organ. Then excretory organ. Five organs of actions. There are five actions. Through five different organs of actions, we do all our actions. Physical activities. Running, walking, legs, hands, organ of speech, reproductory organ, excretory organ. So, in each of these, now you know all these organs. The hands are perceptible, legs are perceptible. Understand? Your organ of speech up to the throat, even though it's not, but still it is gross. Excretory organ, reproductory organ, all these organs are physical parts. But in each organ, there is that corresponding power. That power is imperceptible. Okay? The power, whether you can fold and expand and contract, fold and open, walk and sit and get up and all this, you know whether there is power or not. You know whether you can move your hand or not. You know whether you can move your legs or not. You know whether there's power in your organ of reproductory organ or not. You know whether there is power of organ of speech or not. You have to speak and see. If there is no power of organ of speech, you can't speak. Therefore, These powers are all there. You understand each power of each organ of action. And each power is what? Known to you. You know. Again, I tell you, when I say known to you, immediately anything imperceptible, we get confused. You have to be really understand. I am able to speak itself is what? There is a power I'm able to speak. We also see people who cannot speak. Therefore, the power of organ, the speaking, the power obtaining in your hands, the power obtaining in your legs, because of which you're able to move around, the power obtaining in the excretory organ, because of which you're able to excrete things properly, the power obtaining in reproductory organ, all these powers are all known to you. You know those powers are. How do you know? Even you cannot see the power of power obtaining in my hands. You cannot see through physical eyes. Because I'm moving like this, talking like this, what do you understand? Because I'm speaking, you are very clear. There's a power in the organ of speech. There's a power of organ of speech. There's a power in the hands. So all these organs of actions do with what? Powers. These powers are imperceptible. Therefore, now all these powers are known to oneself. Therefore, you are the knower. You can say, I, the self, am the knower. Distinct, different from the known powers of organs of actions. Karma indriyani. Understand? Now we have got what negator? 5 subtle aspects, jnana indriyani. Next to 5 subtle aspects, karma indriyani. Now we go to next 5 physiological functions called pancha pranaha. These functions are also, in fact, 5 different functions governed by one air. Therefore, one air, vital air, is given 5 different names. You know, pranaha, apanaha, vyanaha, samanaha, udanaha. 5 functions are happening. Can you see these 5 physiological functions happening? Even if the body is cut open and kept it there also, you cannot see how the functions are happening. Amazing, isn't it? But are happening. You cannot see it through physical eyes, but functions are happening. The function of inhalation, exhalation. The function of respiration, pranaha. Then the function of excretion, apanaha. The function of circulation, vyanaha. The function of digestion, samanaha. The function of retention, udanaha. All these 5 different functions are constantly happening from the day you are born. No rest, no holiday, no break. They should not. If they take off, and we have to say goodbye here. Therefore, we never give them holiday and they decide one day. We never want to give them holiday. Therefore, they decide one day and we become helpless. Pancha pranaha, five physiological functions. Do we perceive them through our sense organs? No. But do we understand them or not? If we say no, then one minute will come and hold here. Therefore, all these five functions are part of the individual. I want to say no. An individual, talk about the physical body, is part of an individual. The sense powers are part of the individual. Five powers of organs of actions are part of the individual. Now five physiological functions are part of the individual. All these different parts constitute the individual here. Of which of these individual is I? Understand? Is the question here. Therefore, now the physiological functions are also known to me. Therefore, they are all objects. They come under the category of objects of knowledge. I, the self, am the knower. Different from the known physiological functions. Therefore, now even the physiological functions cannot become the substance of the substantive I. Now we are shifting, as I am saying, now first negated. First negation is what? Negation of body as the non-I, non-self. Thereafter, negation of sense organs as non-self. Then organs of actions as non-self. Now, physiological functions also have been negated as non-self. Why? They're all objects of knowledge. They're all the known, come under the category of the known. Then we are going to 16th important aspect called antahkaranam, mind. Mind. We are only distinguishing the knower. We have not yet finished, isn't it? We have not yet understood who this I, the knower, is. What this I, the knower, is. So now we have to. One more thing is that mind. And is mind when you say? Simply, it is easy to say one word. Mind is also an object of knowledge. Which means mind also comes under the category of the objects of knowledge, the known. Mind also is the known. Mind also is known to me. One's own mind again, why do you call it subtle again? Much subtlest. Mind also is what? Subtle aspect. And mind also is known only to one's own self. Therefore, I, the knower, am different from the known mind also. Let us see simply this one. How do we say mind is the known? Mind comes under the category of the known, which means I, the knower, am different from the known mind. Means how do you say mind I is different from the mind. How do you say that? Because mind is the known. How do you say mind is the known? Because if I continue to talk after 9 o'clock and all of you will become absent here, politely you all will be sitting because Swaminiji is sitting. We cannot get up and go. Hope she finishes now. Maybe hunger or maybe sleep, maybe tiredness after long day work or family commitments, they'll all come to your mind. Even now it has started, but still after 9, no, will take your mind away. Family commitments will grab your mind away, or children's things will take your mind away. My God, know how my wife is managing now, whether they have gone to bed or not. I don't know if I have to go and cook or if she has cooked food or not. Like all these thoughts will come. All these different things will grab your mind away. That's all. Then I am talking after 9 o'clock. Nothing, words are going into this, going through your ears, but nothing gets registered. No? Why words are heard but not registered? Words are not unheard, because sitting helplessly, words can't help. They have to travel through your ears. Because you're lucky. Fortunately, you are not deaf also. So words travel through your ears, they reach the mind, but still they remain unregistered. Therefore, and you all, when you're staring at me, waiting for me to say Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Then what happens? And I become highly enthusiastic seeing the way you stare at me. I mistake you're all very focused. And then I stop and ask, have you understood what I'm saying? And suddenly you have to, what now? What did you say? Because you didn't question, you didn't even, when you did not hear my question, I come to know that you could not even hear my question. Which means you heard the question, you did not register my question. I ask, why? Why did you not answer? And you will say, I'm sorry, lost after 8:45. We've all switched off our minds. Not switched off. In fact, our minds are not here. You will say this, my mind is not here, my body is here. Physically, I am present here. My mind is not here. Therefore, after 8:45, whatever you said, we heard, but they were not registered. Why? Why they were not registered? Because mind was not here. Why mind was not here? Mind has gone somewhere. Then I ask you, your mind was not here. Yes, you will say genuinely, yes, my mind was not here. Your mind was not here. How do you know your mind was not here? If I ask, you will say what? I know my mind. I know my mind was not here. Where was it? If I ask you, you will say my mind was with my children at home, or in the kitchen, or my mind was thinking of my files I had to submit tomorrow. Which means you know where your mind is not, where your mind is. Is it clear? This is not the complete analysis of the mind. I'm just showing you how mind is an object of knowledge. If the mind is present here, then mind means what? Attention of the mind. Understand now? Attention of the mind. When I say mind means mind is here, mind does not go away. Please understand important lesson. When you are physically sitting here, mind goes away, that is called death. When I mean, we always in our expressions we say, my mind is not here. What does it mean? Where is the mind? My mind has gone somewhere. We always mean our attention of the mind. Please, it's an important lesson. I did not mean mind goes, walks outside, leaving you alone here. Okay? The mind can never depart from the physical body. Please understand. When I say the attention of the mind, understand? I just show how the presence of the attention of the mind and the absence of the consequence of the presence of the attention of the mind or absence of the attention of the mind. Mind's attention is here, then everything gets registered. Mind's attention is not here, nothing gets registered. That is the proof. Understand? And you know why things did not get registered. Why? Because attention was not here, attention of mind, the mind has gone elsewhere. Which means, attention of the mind being here, attention of the mind being elsewhere is known to you. Therefore, mind is also an object of knowledge. Understand? Please understand, very important lesson to know. Mind never goes away. If the mind leaves the body and goes outside, that is death. It's called departure of the soul from the body. That's called death. So it will not go. When will it go? Only that particular day. Till then, mind will not depart. But we, in expressions we use, when mind is not here, it's gone elsewhere, means it's not the mind, it's the attention of the mind. Anyway, what I want to say, mind is an object of knowledge. About now is 16, all the 16 aspects, you know, which we'll see mind elaborately. We'll see mind in detail. But what are all the 16 aspects which indwell the physical body? But each aspect is what? Known to you. Each aspect is an object of knowledge. And I is the knower. I, the self, am the knower. Different from the known, the 16 subtle aspects which constitute the sukshma shariram, subtle body. Is it clear now? Which means mind also is not the substance of the substantive I. I is not the mind. I, the Atma, is not the mind. This is the big problem, isn't it? Many people, it is easy for them to negate body as the non-I, non-self. But they get stuck with the mind. But be very clear. Now we have to understand, before we know, what actually this I, the knower, is. Now we have understood what? I, the knower, am not any of the subtle aspects, nor the gross body. You have shifted now, using your intellect, thinking, reasoning. You are using your reasoning now. No, you understand that no, subject is different from the object. Subject of knowledge, the knower, is different from the object of knowledge, the known. So you used your reasoning and you are shifting the eye-sense from the body intellectually, not physically. Physically you cannot drag eye, isn't it? Intellectually, cognitively you are shifting the eye-sense from the body. Thereafter, you shifted the eye sense from the each seeing power, hearing power, all the five sense powers. Then you shifted the eye sense from the powers of organs of actions. You shifted the eye sense from the powers of organs of actions. You shifted the eye sense from the physiological functions. You shifted the eye sense even from the mind also. Now, what is there beyond the mind to place the I? Which means, what is the substance of the substantive I? Like when we say, wave, the name and that form are resolvable in its substance called water. When you say wave is water, what do you say? You are resolving intellectually, cognitively, the name and the form wave in its substance water. Understand? Where is wave now? Gone. Where? Resolved. Where? Into water. Resolved in where? Water. Not physically. Have you done anything physically? Do you need to do anything physically to say, oh, wave. I analyzed what wave is, and wave is water, and I have intellectually, cognitively resolved the wave in its substance, water. Is it clear now? Cognitive resolution. Cognitive resolution of wave in its substance, water. Is what? There is no wave. Then, leave the word wave, come to the point, H2O is the truth. Understand? Similarly, here also, now use the term I first. Now you have distinguished the I, shifted the I, lifted the I cognitively from the gross to the subtle, to the subtler, to the subtler, to the subtlest mind. You have shifted it. What, where should I place the I? Where should I resolve I? I know I am. I know I is. I know I, the self, am the knower. To know this, we don't need anything extra. Understand? So till here, reasoning helped. But hereafter, what is I, the knower, is to know that Shastram alone can help. Reasoning, you can see the limitation of the reasoning. So we say that I, before we understand that, okay, where should I resolve that I? Just as I can resolve the wave, the name and the form, the substantive wave in its truth, the reality, H2O. I had to resolve this I, because subtlest, isn't it? I sense, I sense has to be resolved in its substratum, its substance. So here, where can I go and find? You need not go anywhere out to find where should I resolve it. Where will you resolve the wave? You not go anywhere. Simply, I has to be resolved. That substance is available where? Where should it be available? It's everywhere available. In fact, in that substance alone, everything exists. Which means, here, the next step we have is, we have to analyze our mind. If we see our mind, the mind itself is a function. Our mind is a function. Mind is a function. A function of mentation. And mind is full of thoughts. When you say full of thoughts, means varieties of innumerable thoughts form the mind. Like waves form the ocean, thoughts form the mind. So mind is not one thought, but every thought is mind. Like how ocean is not the wave, but every wave is ocean. Similarly, mind is not one particular thought, but every thought is mind. Is it clear? So, the thoughts are many. Therefore, our Shastram classifies those thoughts into four groups. We divide the thoughts into four groups. And we give four different names for those groups. As Manaha, mind. Mind divided is given what now? First group of thoughts is called mind. And second group of thoughts is called intellect. The third group of thoughts comes under the category of the memory. Then the fourth thought, one given thought, is called ego, ahankaraha. Manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. Mind, intellect, memory, ego. Manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. Mind, intellect, memory, ego. Now, each, don't need to say it differently. If you ask me, is mind just the mind? No. But mind is mind. Mind is not just the mind. Is mind the intellect? Mind is not just the intellect. Intellect is mind. Is mind just the memory? No. But the memory is mind. Is mind just the ego? No. But the ego is mind. What is ego? We give them ahankaraha. So ego is not something bad. Okay? Don't get worked up. Oh, ego, my God, I have to give it up. You don't need to give up anything. You have to understand, that's all. Ego is one particular thought. Now we say all these thoughts. Suppose we say manaha. There are some thoughts come under the category of the mind. Some thoughts come under the category of the intellect. Some thoughts come under the category of the memory. One particular thought comes under the category of the ego. Which means all of them are thoughts only. All of them are of the same nature. These are thoughts. And thought in Sanskrit language is called vrittihi. Vrittihi means a thought. Antahkarana vrittihi. Okay, so now we are still analyzing the 16th aspect of the subtle body. 16th subtle aspect called Antahkaranam, the mind. And we have seen that the mind is nothing but the thoughts together form the mind. And we understood how the thoughts are categorized into four groups. But what those thoughts are, what are the thoughts obtaining in each category, and what those thoughts are, etc., we'll see next class.
Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.
We'll see next class. Any doubts you can come early and ask me. Okay? That is why the important thing, only when you study the Shastram systematically, you will understand how wrong it is to hold any discussions, etc., on the topics which we do not understand anything at all. It is not that we intentions are good, our aim is good. Because everybody, whoever comes to the class, whoever comes for the discussion also, they all come, they have some understanding of things because they might have read different books in different places, they have gathered different information. So they all mean well, they all come and pour out the information. But really speaking, if it is not systematically taken, it cannot be understood. It's very important. So, for discussions, always it have the values mainly.
Some people really have the knowledge, but they live by it. Actually, knowledge should be lived through, isn't it? To experience.
No.
Isn't it? We have to live through the knowledge.
What do you mean by the knowledge then?
Yeah, because some people have knowledge and they will just pour out, you know. Whereas in their daily life, they don't actually acquire. They don't do anything. Knowledge acquiring, some people have knowledge.
Here, Amma, this is that knowledge is different. You talk about dharma. Knowledge of dharma, once you know the values, then whether you live, I know I should speak the truth. But do I speak the truth? Their value, knowledge of values, you live, I don't live. Understand? But here, Vedantic knowledge, there is no living. Okay? It's only just understanding is being. This is completely different. This is not living here. Understand? People talk about practical Vedanta and all that. Are you practicing Vedanta? No. You practice Dharma. See, you know Dharma, but you practice Dharma, you live Dharma. Values, you know, you practice. Practice, but you live. But here, suppose water is H2O. Do you need to live that? You understand. What is H2O is what? It's a fact understood. Understanding a fact is not living the fact. Isn't it? Mm-hmm. So here also, what the truth is, what I is. Discovering the fact. Once the fact is discovered, that knowledge, discovery of the fact about oneself, in fact, will be, then you will not live in it. That will be expressed.
Expressed.
Expression of, then that will be expressed in the form of your fullness, your love, your warmth, your care, etc. That is so, people who don't express nothing wrong, because they have to discover. If they discover, they will help choicelessly express. No problem. Isn't it? Is it clear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So here what I want to say, I'm not blaming or finding fault, criticizing anybody, Amma.
Mm-hmm.
See, because especially if youngsters come to the classes, now that's very important that we see that they don't get confused. Because otherwise we should not teach wrongly also. Because they're all very important subtle lessons. You know? Very, very important subtle lessons. Now what I'm saying, everybody is intelligent. Nobody is dull-witted person. As far as Shastra is concerned, every human mind is equally, you know, every human being has equal intelligence, sharpness is there. Only thing is, they do not know how to make use of it. Nobody is looked upon as, oh, this person dull, he can't understand. That's not true. Only thing is, how committed the person is to this, where the person aware of this knowledge, knows the value of it, does he make effort? It is a question of interest. Then, if he is aware of it, if he is interested in it, then when we are teaching it, then is he studying systematically? All these things are important. If he is studying systematically, he can't miss the vision that he has to have at every step. Understand? Then there is no vagueness. Every step. Maybe I'll tell Shiva, I'll talk to them. No, not about it. Generally, I'll tell them, because he was asking me also about it. What I'm saying, I'm suggesting, we can take some simple introduction books and read them in study groups, all of you.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe each group can sit and read it separately.
Mm-hmm.
You can make the jot down the points and come back and then discuss. That's the good thing. That's the good way of doing it. It's my simple suggestion.
Yeah.
Because it's good, isn't it? Because they're all quite good people. They come up with the Ashraddha.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Om